Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi. Today is Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024, and it's the feast of St. Mark. Did I say 24th or 25th? Thursday? No, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm so sorry. It's Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024. It's the feast of St. Mark, and it is the fourth Thursday of Easter. Our reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. So, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, as we were reading all of the accounts of our Lord's resurrection, we had this reading, and I had made the point that it is believed by scholars that this little passage here at the end of Mark's gospel, Mark is our saint for the day, this little passage was added because it just doesn't seem to go with the rest of the gospel, especially the way it was going. Scholars say Mark's gospel is written as a Greek tragedy. First of all, it's written in Greek for the Greeks, for Greek-speaking people living in the Roman Empire. It's written in the early days of the church, very early days of the church. Mark is not one of the 12, but Mark is a young man. He's believed to be a disciple of St. Peter. And in fact, Mark's gospel, every single thing in it is already found in either Matthew or Luke, except for one passage. The one passage is when they're all being, Jesus being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all the disciples are fleeing. In Mark's gospel, it talks about a very young man who is so scared for his life, he runs from Jesus, he runs away, and he's only wearing a cloth around his waist, and the soldiers grab it, and he runs off naked. And the reason that I say this, the reason I think that's an important little passage there, is most scholars feel that that's actually an autobiographical statement there, that a lot of people believe Mark, he's trying to make the point that by worldly standards, Jesus and the early church were at such a state of failure at that moment. And then he points himself out as the absolute worst. So it's a statement of humility, really, that while all the 12 are running in different directions, he's there too, and he literally is so scared he runs off naked as the Lord is being arrested. Now, what do I mean by Greek tragedy? Well, it starts out positive. It starts out that this is the Son of God, and it starts out with all of his miracles and so many good positive things being said about Jesus. And then as the gospel goes by, it has the persecution, it has people complaining about him, it has people against him, and more and more and more, Jesus is preparing for his passion, until finally the passion and death happens. And it is believed, we don't know this to be 100% true, but it is believed that Mark's gospel ended with the passion. It ended with just, like a Greek tragedy, everything gets worse and worse and worse, until the protagonist finally dies. Except, in order to be accepted as a work of Scripture, in order to be accepted into the New Testament by the early church, I mean, because there's other books written at that time, but to be accepted as one of the Gospels of sacred Scripture, alongside Matthew, Luke, and John, it needs to contain an account of the resurrection. So it's believed that this account of the resurrection was added, probably by Mark himself, maybe by a member of his community afterward. But I don't believe there's different theories about other gospels where they say community members later rearranged things or added things or whatever. I believe Mark is the author, even though these things really happened. And like I said, they're everything else in his gospel is written in Matthew and in Luke, meaning these things really happened. But I believe Mark wrote this gospel. He compiled it. He put it together and he arranged it a certain way. That's why they say he arranged it just like a Greek tragedy. And then suddenly at the end, we have the resurrection account because it was necessary. This is the good news. Jesus is risen. So at the end, not only does Mark talk about Jesus' resurrection, and he gives you a very brief summary of it. It's a very quick little, he rose and he appeared to these people. It's a repetition of what the other gospels talk about. But then here's the final few passages. It's the very end. Jesus appears to the 11, and it's not just that he's about to be ascend into heaven and take his seat at the right hand of God, but it's a little statement of victory for the early church. They go into all the nations and they do what Jesus said. They preach the gospel and then they drive out demons. They speak in tongues. They pick up serpents with their hands, and if there's any poison, poison does not harm them. And they lay hands on the sick and they recover. So what is happening here? Mark's gospel ends on the most triumphant of notes. In the end, it's not a Greek tragedy, because the Greek tragedy would just leave Jesus dead. But that's not the message of Jesus. That's not the story. The story is, yes, he endured the cross for our sake. He endured the worst. He endured the greatest pain. He endured ridicule and rejection, and in particular by his own people, including his disciples that loved him. They rejected him in the end when they abandoned him to go to the cross. Even John rejected him for a time, but then later went to the cross with Mary and with the other women. Jesus endured our sins. Jesus endured the greatest possible pain in order to save us. But then there's a resurrection. And what are some of the fruits of the resurrection? That followers of Jesus from now until the end of time will perform miracles and cure people and drive out demons. As I think about this, the extreme negativity of Mark's gospel, and then this point of triumph that comes at the end, I think about how, you know, there's people that are just so negative, and then there's people that are excessively positive all the time. And sometimes people that are way too positive, way too optimistic. And I find myself at one time or another in both of those camps. The people that are too optimistic, they drive us crazy sometimes because it's not necessarily realistic. And the people that are just too negative all the time, well, very often we find ourselves wanting to get away from them because they want to point out your flaws and my flaws, and they constantly want to make you feel bad. And it's probably because they feel bad, and therefore they have to point out your negativity. And we're called to balance. We're called to the message of both the cross and the resurrection. We're called to endure the cross, but also to experience the victory of Jesus. We're called to both. And so it's highly recommended, and I constantly give people this advice in spiritual direction and otherwise, that we do a daily examination of conscience. And I like to do this every day. I like to journal about it as often as I can. When bad things happen, I journal about them. Why? Because it helps me to remain sober about life, right? It helps me to remember, okay, this is happening, that's happening. And it's good to vent. Even if you just write it on paper and nobody else ever reads it, it's good to get it out. It's healthy to get it out. It's important that we talk about the negative things, and it's so important that we talk about our own sins so that we can know what they are, so that we can work on them and see the patterns. But it's also an opportunity for boundaries. It's an opportunity to say, okay, this negative thing keeps happening to me. I need to set a boundary with whomever or whatever is hurting me. So it's so very important that we notice the negative, that we talk about the negative, but it's also so very important that we talk about the positive, that we recognize God's graces and we celebrate them. It's important to journal about that. It's important to thank the Lord for that because it gives us hope. When we're going through negative things, it's so important that we have that hope, that we remember God's gifts, that we are constantly thanking Him. The healthiest people in the world, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, are the ones that exercise the attitude of gratitude. As they say in Philly, my friends say, attitude of gratitude. In other words, recognizing God is so good to me. Look at all the good things He did this day. Look at the little victories I experienced on my own. But also look at all the other good things that happened to me and the people that love me and the successes that I had with the help of God. We should be talking about them. We should be celebrating them. We should be building on them. And anyway, that's just, it's a little tidbit, little piece of advice. I'm constantly recommending the Daily Examine, and I'm pretty sure we can find this in Ignatian Spirituality, and pointing out the good and the bad. We need to work on both. We need to celebrate the good, but it also helps us to be sober in times of bad. And we need to focus on the bad a little bit. It sobers us up during those times of good and euphoria. And it keeps us balanced. We need to work on things. We're going to have to do this the rest of our lives. You know why? Because God is good and we are sinners. And these are both existing side by side. It's like the weeds in the wheat, except we want to be the wheat in the long run. Even with all my sins, I keep turning to the Lord. And I keep turning to Our Lady. And I wear her miraculous medal. I wear her scapular. I pray her rosary. She's promised eternal life to those that do these things. I turn to Jesus in His Sacred Heart devotion and His Divine Mercy devotion. These are also things that promise eternal life. Also the seven sorrows of Mary. These are not magical things that will just save us in the end. These are things that will transform us as we go. We are given these promises, and we want to keep working in that direction. Keep working on these promises, and keep just entrusting ourselves to Jesus. Say His name. Go to His cross and realize He has promised us salvation if we follow Him, if we do His will. We cannot do it on our own, but with His help, we can accomplish anything. Look at what Mark said about the apostles who had abandoned Jesus. And now he's included in this. He later on went to found the church in Alexandria. He went as far as Venice. If you've ever been to St. Mark's Cathedral, St. Mark accomplished amazing, incredible things for the Lord, as did these other apostles after they had been total failures. Why? Because they finally got it. I need God's help. I need Him to lead me. I need Him to guide me. I need Him to carry me. And when He is, we can accomplish the impossible. On that note, I hope everybody has a great day. God bless you, and let's keep each other in prayer.